Mike Hutchinson visited the Castle Museum in Norwich to talk to Anna McCarthy, the events programme manager, about a unique exhibition which explores the mysteries which surround a painting that belonged to an important Norfolk family.
Right, I'm here at the Castle Museum and I'm talking to Anna McCarthy, who's the events and visitor programme manager, is that correct?
It's true.
And we're here to talk about the exhibition they've got currently running there called the Paston Treasure. Now, Paston's a well-known name to people in Norfolk. We've got Paston Village, we've got Paston School, there's the Paston Letters, Paston Way. Who were the Pastons?
Well, the Pastons, you know, well known in Norfolk. I think they perhaps were more known for their letters until quite recently.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, from the 16th century onwards, their wealth and status began to develop. And when it came to it, the rise and fall of the family was actually quite swift. So certainly beginning with upwardly mobile farmers who developed all...
And they accumulated a lot of land and they ultimately built quite a lot of property.
Lots of property, so quite keen on their property and rebuilding properties. And I think Clement in particular was interested in how the neighbours might sit up and
this
look at them.
The person who put this exhibition together and worked on the history of the family, isn't it?
That's right,
to say
yes.
The focus of the whole exhibition really is a very strange picture, I have to say.
Yes.
It's quite remarkable. It's like an inventory of all the things that they accumulated over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, if we take anybody who's listening to this, who took all their possessions and put them in the corner of the room and then took a photograph, you'd think it was pretty strange. But this, in effect, what it is, it's a painting of all their treasures, all the things that
That's
they accumulated.
Right. Yeah. It really is very strange, and it's sort of internationally regarded as one of the 17th century mysteries, if you like.
Mm.
So, as you'll know, if you come and see the exhibition, people who the identity of the painter has been lost.
Yeah.
So that's been part of a big research project with the...
We don't actually know who even commissioned the painter to do
we're
it.
We're not sure.
We can guess.
No, we sort of think it could be Clement, but we're not sure. So it's been part of a big research project with the British... Yale Centre for British Art in America.
Mm.
So this has been going on for a few years now and culminating, if you like, in both the exhibition in America and this exhibition, which is now here running for the summer at Norwich Castle. I think one of the interesting ways to look at it is a collage. So if you can imagine a collage and you'd cut out all your favourite things from a magazine and put them all together and arrange them as you thought best. Perhaps to show off your wealth or to represent what you're all about.
Mm.
The Paston Treasures are very much like that. It's almost like the ultimate piece of bling. Let's really show off. Let's show off our wealth.
Yeah.
Let's show off our status. Let's show off our international travel.
Yeah.
But what's also, and very soberingly, cutting through the painting are all these symbols of time passing.
Yes.
The memento moris, if you like.
Yeah.
So really about, you know, things that remind you that material things are, you know, life is temporal.
Yes.
You may gather all these things, but these too shall pass. And I think with the history of the Pastons, that came to pass perhaps sooner than they thought. But going back to the composition of the painting,
you've got musical instruments in there,
it's
you've
very
got some beautiful
multi-sensory
shells.
So interestingly, to see how multi-sensory it is, you've got the smell there of flowers, you've got you have fruit there, so almost all five senses are represented. You've got musical instruments, as you use the shells, lots of symbols of time passing, candles burning down, clocks ticking, an hourglass which the sand is inevitably going to fall to the bottom of. So really a lovely combination of and of course the two people in
two
there.
People. There's
two
a young
people.
Girl, very very beautiful young girl who's fairly central in the picture, and you've got a young black man as well, which is sort of intriguing. How does he fit in?
So intriguing, again adding to the mystery of the painting. Who is the young man? Was he in fact in their service? His identity is not known entirely either. We do know that the artist probably painted many of the objects and the people not at the same time, so they would have been studies that were then later brought together. So that adds to the mystery. The young lady at the front of the painting is thought to be Margaret Paston, but nobody's quite sure. It's an assumption at the moment. Again, educated conclusion, but that can't be completely confirmed. So,
because Margaret, we learn, is quite an interesting young lady. I was quite taken by Margaret.
Yeah.
Because she eloped to Italy,
didn't she?
She was interested in the sciences. And it was probably not the sort of thing young ladies of the time were supposed to be interested
That's right. And it's quite interesting how people's economic wealth gives them license in other areas of their work. Margaret was left money by her grandfather. And that meant she could make a marriage choice not popular with her family. So she did go off to Italy with Girolamo. She was also aware that other people would not have had these choices. So lots of interesting discussions about money, wealth, status. You've got some gender issues there as well.
And mysteriously, the painting's been x-rayed and there's another female figure in the painting.
That's right.
And she's been replaced by a clock.
That's right, yes. So again, there are questions around the duration of the painting and who may have been living in different states of health as well, and how they may have been chosen to be represented differently. It's lots of things point to that. If you look closely at the flowers, the petals are just about to fall off, the fruit's just about to turn. So it could almost just be...
There's a prophetic feel to this.
Because that's absolutely right.
The family was not going to survive within two generations of when this painting was put together. They'd lost pretty much everything. There was no male heirs, and so it was all gone. And then the collection was dissipated.
That's right. Oxnead sold, collection gone. Just really fascinating. And I think one of the big pieces of work of this whole research that's been going on prior to the exhibition in here and the exhibition in America that preceded it was really to piece it together. And the loans have come from just everywhere.
So you've actually managed to locate some of the real objects that are in the picture, which after all this time is a remarkable achievement.
It really is. It is remarkable. Obviously the Paston treasure is part of Norwich Castle's collection. It's here as a perennially on display, and this is a culmination of all the research behind it and locating different objects. We've had loans from Her Majesty the Queen. We've had loans from private and public collections, both of objects that actually, you know, did belong in the collection, but also artworks of various people. You've seen the big portrait of King Charles, which looms slightly prophetically again over the whole proceedings. And it was obviously part of the Pastons' close connection with them. It was a double-edged sword. Yeah. They had very good relations with King Charles. This also meant lavish entertaining required. So this was very much a part of contributing to their downfall.
They certainly knew how to part with their money.
I thought you were going to say they certainly knew how to party.
Well, party and part.
I think they did.
Now, it brings us on to really sort of introducing this as an exhibition that people with limited sight can appreciate. Yeah. And I have to say, I've been very impressed going round. Because if you'd like to talk about some of the audio aspects of this...
Of course, yes.
You can actually meet and listen to some of the characters in this story.
That's right.
By just going round and... listening with earpieces.
That's right, you can. We've tried very much to focus on access and inclusion, and we're trying to really improve our practice all the time with this. So one of the aspects, as I mentioned, the Paston treasure, it's a very multi-sensual, all the senses are there, so we wanted to reflect that as well. And one of the ways we've done that is we've taken seven different voices to represent characters in the painting, painting or associated characters with the painting and recreate what could be their voices. And these are installed around the gallery in the thematic areas, so that almost like a behind-the-scenes story. You're faced with this theatricality and pomp and glory, and isn't everything wonderful? And then there's these little, we call them a word in your shell, like, so you can lift the receiver to one ear, and almost like the walls have ears. It's like, yes, but did you know they still owe me £300 for all that linen? I ain't never going to work for them Pastons
they
again, am I?
They weren't good at paying their debts.
They weren't no good. I ain't going to work for them again. We also had the voice that it was quite important to bring to life, if you like, and not just objectify people like the young black man in the painting. So bringing his voice in and his point of view was really nice to make it more 3D, if you like. We've also represented the artist, whomsoever he may be, and Margaret Paston, an Italian craftsman who would have worked with them as well. So yes, seven different voices. So we've tried
and music as well, of course.
There's music as well to listen to. So certainly in terms of an audio way, there's really chance to get a everyday sense of the painting. I think sometimes the curation and the framing can create a distance between us and the stories, depending on how comfortable and familiar you are with gallery settings. And I think these audios, it brings it very close immediately. You're immediately in the picture, so to speak. In addition to the audios, we've got a big interactive room,
which is fascinating, really. and ideal for children, because you can actually put yourself in the frame with the picture.
You can. We have a replica of the painting in there, and lots of different size frames. So we're really encouraging people to dress up in a 17th century frock coat or a little top and frothy collar, take your selfies and literally be in the picture. We've got interactives in there, films to watch, and we're really just focusing on a space to be and explore some of the key themes of the exhibition.
Well, Anna, thanks for sparing your time to tell me about that.
You're
welcome. I've only spent a few minutes in the exhibition, and I have to say I was very impressed, and I'm certainly coming back
spend
more time.
It's what we like to hear.
And I have to say, when I was waiting to see Anna a little bit earlier on, I did meet a lady with a small child and a guide dog.
Yes.
And both, I don't know about the dog, I didn't get the dog's opinion. But they both enjoyed the exhibition and going around the museum, which is making it accessible in all sorts of areas. So don't be discouraged. Come along and see what you can find.
Yep, we'd love to welcome you here. And any thoughts you have of your experiences in our exhibitions where we can improve would be great too. And we'll get to the dogs.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
If you want to visit the exhibition, you still have time to do so, as it runs to the 23rd of September. The museum is open between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. on weekdays, and between 1 and 4:30 p.m. on Sundays. Admission to the exhibition is included in the overall museum admission price. Please ask about the audio description aids that are available.